everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. Trying to stay busy. It's not been a problem.
So, yeah, that's very, very true. So, you know, I'm looking at your background. For those of you watching live, you're using a new Skype trick. You got a blueberry background today.
Yeah, I found a new trick in Skype for keying the background. I don't know when they added that, but I just found it.
It's actually not a bad key. It's, you know, it's not bad at all. So anyway, we're getting to see Mike live with, for those of you listening, you're not, but for seeing Mike with blueberry pants, plants in the background. So we're going to have to get you a logo or something to put back there.
Yeah, that'd be even better.
But for today, a lot of fun. Hey, everyone, we've got a great show lined up for you. Got some news, best practices, of course, stuff going on here at Blueberry. I got a great interview with Kevin Pinnell. It's for the People Process Progress podcast. I'll try to say that three times really fast. Great interview with a Blueberry podcaster. And of course, we've got some support stuff to talk about as well. Now, as a reminder, you can be on this show. All you got to do is send an email to myself, Mike, or Mackenzie, Todd, Mike, Mackenzie at blueberry.com. And we can get you on the show and talk about your podcast. Let's lead this off a little bit, Mike. What's going on? CBS is CBC or CBS is using an old radio show?
That's CBC up in Canada is repurposing the old wiretap radio show that they put out in 2004 up till 2015. They're going to be releasing season 6 through 11 as podcasts. So it'll be 57 episodes. That'll be pretty cool. It'll be a weekly half-hour show.
What was that show about?
I'm not really sure. I haven't listened to it.
Able to be repurposed then if they're able to put it out currently, huh?
Yeah, it's some sort of like a story. I want to say it's like a detective story thing. But yeah, it said it's very similar to the podcast called Heavyweight that Gimlet put out. So, and I'm not familiar with that either. So
yeah. So, well, that's cool. Well, a lot of stuff coming out of Canada. We're talking with a lot of folks in Canada right now. But Spotify, you know, I always tell podcasters, be careful what you wish for. And it's the first time I've actually kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit because Spotify is introducing in-app podcast ads. And they're testing on just a few shows now. But, you know, here's the deal. They have every right to run advertising around all the shows on that system and not pay podcasters a penny. So I guess we're in a situation now where, you know, everyone loves being on Spotify, but now if they start monetizing in and around your content, then you don't have a lot to say about it just because it's their platform.
Right. Yeah. It kind of looks like what TuneIn does this if you're not a premium member. And it pops up ads, you know, while the audio is playing on your phone. So it's like, you know, textual ads. I know they've been running some in-between ads as well in the audio, but this is something a little new, I think.
It's actually where they're promoting something and you click through and get a savings by clicking through because it's a little pop-up in the ad. Now, I don't know how many people actually look at their phone while podcasts are playing. So maybe this would be a non-starter, but it doesn't sound to me like they're doing rev share. So
right, yeah, you don't get anything for it as far as I know, but you know, that's some of the price that you pay to be on some of these networks each app developer can do what they want. You know Overcast does some of that too, textual ads that you can get to show up, you know, if you're not a paying member or whatever of Overcast. So, you know, it's not just Spotify, but this is one of the big ones that's starting to do that.
And it, you know, and it really, at a certain point, we're going to have to be thinking about this a little bit because do podcasters want to be treated in the same way that music artists is, where you basically get pennies on your content and then they monetize everything around it and make the majority of the money, like has happened with labels and so forth. And do we want to have the ability here to, or are we going to be having to fend for our own otherwise? So yeah, your key is drifting a little bit, Mike.
Yeah, well, it's not perfect, but hey, it'll do.
Yeah, you got half a shoulder. It's kind of funny. So Scripps apparently is looking to sell Stitcher.
Yeah, it's what it's exploring the sale, it says here. This is from a website I've never heard of called The Information. But, yeah, it says TV broadcaster EW Scripps Company is shopping podcasting service Stitcher. I wonder what that'll go for if it goes.
Yeah, they implied it's been a while. They're looking for a buyer. So it is kind of interesting that they are looking to unload that. Well, you know, if you look at Stitcher, it's just dropped and dropped, and they really lost the opportunity there to promote that. So, you know, it's lost market share. So I hate to say it, and I know the team over there, it's no one to blame but themselves for not, you know, that app could have been, you know, 8, 9, 10% of market share, because it had climbed to 3 or 4% at a certain time. But I don't know. It's just too bad what's happened to Stitcher.
Yeah, and you know, they've been owned by what, 3 or 4 different places already. Deezer owned them for a while, and
yeah, and now Deezer's doing their own thing in podcasting after they sold them. So it is funny how things come around. Well, iHeart is actually using the radio to promote podcasts, so I guess they're getting a lot of play.
Yeah, that's what I was reading James Cridlin's newsletter, Pod News, and he was saying that on the charts on Apple, the ones that they've been promoting are climbing the charts pretty good. So it must be working, but, you know, what would that cost the average podcaster to put out, on all the iHeart stations and a couple ads every hour?
Well, you know what it is because of COVID, they haven't been getting much advertising, you know, because things aren't completely ramped up. Things I'm starting to see, you know, and hear, because I listened to a radio station this morning on the way to work, more local advertising. But for a while, they're just playing music continuously because there was no ads to be had. So maybe at this point, they're trying to fill dead air.
Yeah, it could be. It's probably remnant content, as they say in the ad business. But hey, so, it's working for them.
Yeah. So Court TV, I'm not even, is Court TV like I guess it explains itself. I don't think I've ever watched Court TV a single time. Is that?
That's a cable like a channel,
judge,
yeah.
Is that like Judge Judy or something like that? Is that?
Yeah, some of that. And then they also, you know, they became big during the OJ trial. So that's been a while back. And yeah, they do a lot of live court, you know, where they can have cameras in the court. So they do a lot of live trials and stuff. So when there's a really big case up, they're usually talking about it 24/7.
So they're doing these real, they're going into real trials. They're not going into like these, someone's cat got, kicked by a neighbor or something like that type of court drama TV. It's real court stuff. So,
Right. So the podcast they're coming out with is about the Mendez brothers. Those are the brothers that shot their parents with a shotgun. And you know, this was a case back, I want to say the 80s or 90s.
Oh, yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, that's a name you haven't heard in a while. Let's talk a little bit about best practices, and we want to get back to basics today. And this has just been coming up a lot.
Yeah, that's why I put it back in here. I know we talk about it a bit, but
it just seems like, and it's all over social the last couple of days. People are asking why. So here's really, and it boils down to a theme you're going to continue to hear from us talking about over and over again. It's called the Blueberry Way, and the Blueberry Way, where we think you should apply best practices, is real simple. You own your own domain name, whatever it be for your website. Your home base for your show is on land that you own, aka your domain, and you basically, that's where your home of your show is at. and it's better for SEO and Google and your branding for your show without someone else's branding in there. But Mike, it just really goes back to the founding of the company and our idea of how podcasters, in a best practice sense, what they can do to build their shows and build their brands. You know, what have you been seeing discussed on social media?
Been a lot on social media. You know, people say, well, what about this host? What about that host? And on all the hosts that they're, you know, they're talking about, it's, you know, a locked in thing. And some of them even submit your show to the directories for you, which is handy, but doesn't set you up to own your show. So if you ever want to leave that host, then you got to go through a whole rigmarole to get all the listings in your own name. And it's a lot easier to start the right way. And, you know, like I said, Blueberry, that's been our core principle since the founding of the company, since you guys put this place together.
You know, I think too, as I was talking with one gal on Twitter, we just, you know, 280 characters, whatever you're allowed at a time. And I said, she said, well, I don't have time. And I said to her, I said, either you spend the time now and do an extra 20 to 30 minutes worth of work, literally, or you spend hours later on when you wake up and when your show, and I didn't use the word wake up, but when you realize that, oh, I shouldn't be locked into this platform. I need more control. And I think what it is we, and we fully recognize this, and this is why Blueberry has offerings for everybody. If you don't want to be do your own .com and you just want to publish your show and be on Apple Podcasts and all the different directories, yep, you can do that right on blueberry.com. You can publish, have a simple landing page, no sweat. We've got that available for you. But we often find people that start that way within a couple of months. They say, oh, and so Mike is often helping people move within our system from Blueberry Publisher to their own .com or our free WordPress offering. So it's like this realization that podcasters all of a sudden kind of wake up. They get a little traction, or more often than not, they're not getting any traction. They're not being found. They're just out there trying. They're waving their hands and no one's paying attention. Right. So
they're in a sea of dead shows on a network that's, you know, that's not your own. It's not your own domain. It's not, you know, anything that you own. You get the little keyword at the end of your URL and that's it. And a lot of them aren't even that. It's a bunch of gobbledygook. So
yeah,
it's not good at all for, you know, being found randomly. You know, most people don't find your show in Apple Podcasts. They find out about your show some other way. And then if they use Apple Podcasts to subscribe, they look for the name of your show.
And granted, we know that we have a situation where we know that most podcasts today are found via word of mouth and so forth. So that works out well, from a discovery standpoint, but how many, you know, how far does that go? That gets you 100 to 200 people. That doesn't get you to 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. And you look at all successful podcasters, look at all shows that are, I would challenge our listeners to come back to us with a successful podcaster that's grown a massive show that doesn't have their own website. Please send me that, because I don't personally know of one. And if you have to have a website to get big, or your odds of getting big are much lower if you don't, then I think it's worthy people to really think about. But in the short term, oftentimes people don't.
Right. And you know, even a lot of, you know, big celebrities have tried to do podcasts and they don't have their own show. So if you type in their name, their podcast doesn't show up anywhere because they don't have their own website for that show. And, you know, so a lot of them, you know, I can think of quite a few that are very famous people that gave up on podcasting because they weren't getting any traction.
And the key there is, I've said this a lot, is you can have a big name and have a small show, and you can have a small name or be someone, you know, Mike, you and I, we didn't have any broadcast talent. We started doing shows and our shows are doing well.
Certainly.
You know, but we put in the time and build our brands and everything else. So anyway, let's move on from the best practices and move into Blueberry News. And it really does kind of follow what we've just been talking about in best practices. And the Blueberry way is talking about, and I'm going to destroy this, the intentionalism.
Yeah, you did good.
The intentionalism of the Blueberry way. And we've got a blog post up that really kind of typifies, if that's a word, the Blueberry way. And it's all about our PowerPress plugin and things that we've done there and how we've built that utilization and given away as free to the community. And, you know, we don't push the services heavily, but we want to, you know, it is kind of that end of the supermarket candy. We know people find us for hosting with it, but the intentionalism follows the Blueberry way of, you know, we want people to help build their podcasts. So I thought he did a good job on that article. Did you get through the whole thing, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he definitely did a good job of, you know, just sort of wrapping up what we were just talking about in, you know, probably better writing than we talk. But anyway, yeah, very good article.
So the work on the UI UX is continuing. I'm really excited. I've, you know, we're getting steps done. UI UX work is tedious. It's a lot of move that here, move this here. This is missing. Should we add this? What do we think? You know, what are the intentions of someone landing on this page? It's really, we're trying our best to really revamp the Blueberry Publisher dashboard, and it's going to go in steps. Probably be through the rest of the year to get the UIX work done, but it is part of our modernization plan. But 8.4, I'm excited about 8.4.
Yeah, it's Ben's been working on that pretty steadily here lately, and we should be able to see a beta here in the next few weeks. And like I said, if you want to get on the beta testing program, just shoot us an email, support@blueberry.com, and we will put you on the beta list and let you know when there's something to test.
Really what we're going to be doing here with PowerPress 8.4, and it's not going to affect those of you that have an existing account, but brand new podcasters that are downloading 8.4 or PowerPress for first time will be able to create and link an account right in PowerPress. They won't have to come back to blueberry.com. And this has been something I've been wanting for a long time. And we're close to having that wrapped up. I'm very, very exciting. And again, if you want to test, let us know. So no longer will you have to come to blueberry.com to set up a Blueberry account. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be pretty slick for sure. And I have a support topic about that.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and switch to our interview. Our interview, again, is with Kevin Pennell. He's got the People Process Progress podcast. It's a great, I had a great interview with Kevin. We'll cover that, and then we'll be back with some support stuff. Hey everyone, I want to welcome Kevin Pennell to the Podcast Insider. And Kevin has done two podcasts, and his current podcast is the People Process Progress podcast. Say that three times real fast. They started that in 2019. But hey, welcome to the show, Kevin.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to meet you and talk.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I always like to talk to podcasters a little bit about their background and, you know, where they come from. So why don't you give everyone just a little 411 about you, and then we'll start talking about the podcast.
Sure. Do kind of the elevator quick resume speech. So I've got kind of a combination of military, public safety, information technology background. So as a hospital corpsman in the Navy, got into computer support, which I'm back into now. I'm an IT project manager now. But a big chunk of my career I spent on an incident management team, and that's the folks that go around and help find missing people or manage fires or all hazards, kind of what else could happen. And I was a public health emergency coordinator. And so kind of my evolution or opportunity as I grew up kind of in the incident management teams and as a team member and got credentialed was to become an instructor. And that kind of led me toward wanting to continue teaching. But through the miracle of podcasting, I didn't have to board a plane to do it or pack my bags. You know, you could still kind of share knowledge and do that. So kind of my combination of, again, experience and the ability to teach but reach more people is what led me to start my first podcast.
Well, awesome. Well, welcome to the show, shipmate. I don't know if you know this or not, but I did 25 years in the Navy myself, and I always tell people that I run into or people who don't know a lot about the military, I said, you always need three friends in the Navy. You need to know someone in supply, you need to know someone in dispersing that does the payroll, and you need to know a corpsman. So
right on. There you go.
And if you know those three, and if you have three of those buddies in, or gals that are friends and shipmates, you can make anything happen in the Navy. So
that's right. That's outstanding.
So, yeah, it is. So, you know, going back, you know, you started a show in 2018 called Between the Slides, and there's always a reason. Mm. There's always this genesis moment when you're kind of like, man, I need to do a podcast. What really drove you, Kevin, to start your first show?
So I didn't listen to a lot of podcasts other than maybe a year or two before I started my show, probably maybe 2 years. And it was finally the catalyst of, I was actually not in a great place. I was on call doing emergency stuff, and I was just kind of tired, beat. And a friend of mine kept telling me to listen to Jocko podcast, Jocko Willink. And I'd listened some, and I just kind of put it off. And you know, then I started listening. And in addition to, you know, he tells great stories and all that, but kind of the hey, kind of pick yourself up, do these kind of things, really inspired me. And I started listening to different podcasts. Then I started listening to podcasts about podcasts. And at the time I was teaching both in my ear and traveling this incident command system, or All Hazards Incident Management. And that's the system, the planning process that largely public safety uses to plan to respond to incidents or even special events, like from a county fair to a protest or something like that. And so I used to go teach that. And I thought, you know, I have benefited so much from this podcast medium. I have three kids. I'm married. I was on call. I was tired of doing that. I said, you know what? Let me see what it takes to start a podcast, because I can still kind of unofficially instruct and give my two cents and push it out there. So I probably, like many of the folks listening, started, you know, Google, YouTube videos, looking at hosts and this, and how do you set it up, and how do you get on these different platforms that I listen to. So for me, it was, I want to provide, at the time, very public safety or public health focused and incident management team focused folks that are either just starting that down that route, the training and credentialing route to get on a team, or if they're working the streets as a firefighter and they're doing their incident command system training, an opportunity to kind of learn from someone who's not, you know, the be-all end-all expert, but who's been out there a little bit, and they can listen to it on their way to work or while they're on shift. So I really focused on courses specifically, and really, here's what you get from the book, and here's what you can do with it in the real world, which, as we know, training in the book gives us good background, but it's different in whatever subject than when we hit the world, you know, particularly, you know, going back to being a corpsman, it says, hey, do this. And then you get in the real world and go, oh,
right,
that's not working here. So, that was for me, it is a way to say, hey, based on some things that have happened to me, some great mentors that I've had, here's how you can actually use these principles you'll probably get from the online course or the in-person course.
So you did quite a few episodes with that first show. You did.
40, I did.
Yeah. So yep. Did 46. Did you just run out of things to say, or did you decide sometime, man, I need to transition this thing?
Yeah. It was a tough one. And I did, again, probably a similar evolution where I'd bounced so many concepts off friends and family, and then off people that through LinkedIn, and expanded beyond that. But the change of it, the concept of Between the Slides was, I've always found, whether I was in a class, at a conference, in a meeting, you know, the part where you're just sitting there watching someone, hopefully they're not actually reading you the slides. That's, you know, the death by PowerPoint thing.
Yep.
But really, when they're paused, when someone asks a question, when it's on a break at lunch, that's when you get the real benefit of the course. I think you meet the people, you can expand on, you know, concepts. So the thought was, you know, between the slides is the information that we're going to give you on the show. And it was me and a couple of interviews I did. But, you know, a few times when, you know, like podcasters like to talk about podcasting, when it would come up and I was just like, oh, I have a podcast, and it was very niche, and folks would be like, yeah, that's not really my thing.
Right.
And I would have to explain what it meant. You know, then it went, it reminded me of when you have to explain a joke, it's not funny. Right. So when you have to say, well, here's what it's about and here's what the concept is. And then someone finally goes, okay
yeah, that's so niche that their eyes glaze over. And so that's interesting. So that was kind of the reason then you said, okay, let's get a little broader with the People Process Progress show?
I did. And I thought about what is it that has made this do okay, but what is it that's made all the stuff I've talked about work? You know, what is it that brings folks that don't know each other together to find a missing person when we come in as a team, or to be a project manager, or to do emergency medical stuff, or, you know, some of the other subjects I covered? And it's people, big time, right? People are central to everything really in the world as far as, you know, getting things done. And so, and the most important assets that we have. And process is no doubt in my mind what has always, you know, helped, something I've facilitated, been part of, what brings people together in various industries. And of course, the goal to me that I've gotten from podcasts that I wanted to give or want to continue to give through my podcast and in my profession as a project manager and when I was in public safety was to help people make progress. And I said, well, let me see if that's taken, you know, put those three words together,
yeah.
People, process, progress. And it wasn't. There's some close ones. There's similar. There's variations like there are of, you know, there's so many out there now. But I said, you know what, that really encapsulates what I really want to do. And it does expand, you know, other things that I love. And really then for me, lining up more interviews, not just in the niche of public safety or emergency management or public health, but like I interviewed my former Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu instructor. And what about, tell us how you started. How did you grow your business? How did you grow your school? What can other folks do? And public health nurses and things like that. And so still kind of keeping that theme, we touch on all those, you know, we're talking to a person that I want to share their process, let them share their process. And I don't know if you found, or most folks have found, like people want to share their story.
Of course.
You know, even like I'm not Joe Rogan where it's going to get millions of hits, but people, like they want to talk about it and they're excited, which is great.
And they love to talk about themselves. It's just natural.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, just trying to, you know, and through the 46 from between the slides and going on 27 with People Process Progress, like it's helped me too. So, you know, become a better speaker, listen to the ums and pops, just when I'm not even recording something. And listen, so, you know, the change was really both in name, so it's more recognizable, and logo, it's, you know, more recognizable, because you still want folks to go, oh, let me listen to that. I mean, that's just honest. You want to, you know, have the attractive cover art and things, but also again, to expand a bit, but still, I still talk about project management and incident management and stuff too, but also, you know, let other people share their stories, but make sure to tease out what is this process, you know, that you're using that worked, that didn't work, that, you know, the listeners can get, whether it's me giving 2 cents in 15 minutes on a car ride, which has honestly been like my three most popular episodes, or a long form hour and a half discussion with, you know, a guy that climbs 400-foot towers for a living. But so it's been a pretty cool transition.
Not my idea of fun. I'm glad there's people that love to do it. So what then? You know, you're having people on, or is the show make up of you solo most of the time, or do you do a mix of solo and interviews, or?
Yeah. So People Process Progress so far has probably been about a third interviews, and then the rest me, the other two thirds me, but definitely going to line up more interviews. Cause again, you know, for me, giving my 2 cents, I think has, and again, going by some numbers, some, you know, what's been popular, and that's worked out in some things that I've covered and some timely instances. Like I just did one on crisis intervention team training, which is what a lot of folks are saying police need more of. I went through that. So sharing those kind of things lend themselves to kind of me doing it, but I definitely have other folks that I want to talk to that I want other people to hear from. So I want to balance that out a little bit more. It'll probably be still me, the majority, but definitely want to increase the interviewees and folks that are telling their stories.
Yeah. And I found too, my co-hosts I do another show with, we say that when we have a guest on, we often see lower numbers when it's just him and I bantering back and forth. So it's always kind of interesting to see that dynamic on shows, because oftentimes podcasters will think, well, I need to have a guest. And I don't think you always do. So let's talk a little bit about your audience then. So did the folks that were subscribed to the show on Between the Slides, did they migrate to you with People Process Progress, or did the audience change?
They largely did and went up. So that, which I think is a good thing. And I was really worried about that. One, you know, I'm worried about losing numbers or things like that. But I really tried to make sure that as I knew I was headed in the direction of one, at taking a break. So I took like a month off and then thought, you know, through the last kind of episodes of Between the Slides, let's put it in there that, hey, we're going to change. We're going to take a break. We'll, you know, come back and then make sure to try and do as smooth a transition as possible between, you know, the Facebook, the webpage, all those kind of things. So really trying to provide that bridge. And then also have the feed forwarded and all the technical things. But I found that since the launch of the new podcast, I've actually gotten more people reach out on LinkedIn or directly to be on the show, which is fantastic. Folks that didn't reach out before, like a CEO of a software company, which is outstanding. And I think, you know, speaks to, you know, the name change itself lends itself to a more open audience, I think, and you know, diverse audience of folks that would be interested in it. And particularly with, I think because of my background, particularly my public health and healthcare emergency background, during the height, and I know we're still kind of in it, but the kind of pre-surge and surge, and I'm an IT project manager in the healthcare sector, so I was really embedded in there. I actually had a lot of folks reach out that were in other states, and in some folks across the world that are in healthcare that were working in the surge, based on either an episode they heard of or something like that. So that was pretty awesome.
So what has your response been to your show then from your audience?
So it's been interesting. So I've from project management folks, largely the folks that helped others pass the PMP exam, has gotten, you know, big hits or big feedback, or to maintain, there's these PDUs you have to get to maintain your certification. And so that's been popular. But also, again, you know, with the uptick in COVID and when that happened, the episodes focused on helping people prepare or respond or organize have been popular. But the best response I've gotten was, you know, it sounds like a joke, but I was giving my 2 cents while I was on a car ride because these thoughts, you know, those kind of thoughts you get where you should jot them down, but instead I recorded them, you know, and put them out there, have been the most popular about kind of decentralizing leadership and, which is, you know, not just my concept, but also like Ebola and the perils of preparing. So the response has been that it's been helpful to give the perspective of not just a book answer, but how we can really evaluate and do things in real life. Take that knowledge we get from various trainings or experiences, but really apply that to the real world.
So with you talking to all these folks, you know, oftentimes I'll find that, and I think you kind of mentioned a little bit of it earlier, that you're getting a lot out of it by talking to people and you're getting feedback from your audience and you kind of got this thing going on. What do you think the most value has been for you so far? Is the conversations you're having with people or is it the feedback you're getting from the audience? How's that dynamic?
Well, that's a tough one because I think it's probably mutual benefit. So for me, it has been becoming a better listener, helping facilitate discussion better. So, you know, that active listening, but then also, you know, as the host of your show, when you're having a great conversation with someone and it maybe heads down a road, helping kind of steer it back. And most of the folks, actually almost probably 90% of the folks I've had on as guests, I already knew them. Other than a couple of folks that reached out and did, you know, did the Be On My Show kind of form. And so I already knew them, so I was kind of comfortable. But I think the value I've gotten is improved my listening, helping steer conversations, which, you know, outside the podcast world has just helped me be a better leader and project manager, which is great. And in how I talk. So talking more clearly, whether it's, you know, with my wife, my kids, things like that, it's had a real tangible benefit. I think for the guests, that the most benefit based on feedback I've gotten is simplifying just how to plan different things, how to work together with different people. And I did that. I have this foundational four kind of concept of, you know, whether I was doing emergency stuff or IT stuff or something else of, you know, if you do these four things, you can kind of manage anything, which is if you can make objectives for the team you're working with, if you can create like an organizational chart where you're all together on one team, if you can agree on how to share resources, and then you can communicate, you know, up and down the chain of command and all together, then you can be really effective. And that has gotten really good response with folks that have taken that and applied it, whether they were in the back of an SUV on the scene of a public safety response or helping the hospitals with their surge planning, or they were interested in becoming a public health nurse. And in the episode I did with one of my old colleagues in public health, you know, really inspired them to keep going forward. So that's been really good to see or hear people listen to the show, get value of it, and then tell me how they applied it in the real world.
I tell you, we're internally at Blueberry, we're from a dev standpoint, we're going from waterfall to Scrum. I don't know if you're familiar with that. And there's a whole transition there to get from one process to the other. And I think the biggest thing that project managers are, or even business analysts, or who depends on what role they're filling, that's kind of helping steer the ship, is it's all about herding cats sometimes. Ooh, you know, it's trying to keep everyone going in the same direction and keeping everything. And I, you know, having been prior military and done a little project management stuff there, we were very much about, you know, right on deadline, you know, time masks, you know, time hits to make sure that the airplane rolled out the door when it needed to go out, and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, I think there's a lot of people out there looking for additional knowledge, and you can take just, I always tell people, if you can take one thing from any podcast or one piece of advice, that's probably the best nugget you'll use for a long, long time, because it's some of the stuff kind of runs together when you're talking to people, but there's always that little diamond there. You're like, oh man, that was a good one. I'm going to use it. So do you find yourself pulling out nuggets from people that you're talking to and then really capitalizing on that and changing your process?
I do, from, you know, whether it was, again, talking to he's a third degree black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and he broke down each belt, and his comparison was in the alphabet. Like, as a white belt, you're just learning letters. And then as a blue belt, which is the next one, you're kind of starting to form words. And so, and then they went on up. And so just, again, taking a concept and then breaking it down into relatable terms. And I'd done that before and was decent at it, but, you know, getting exposure to that made me think more of, you know, what else can I do from either my background or other guests that I've talked to or other books that I have, and do the same thing. So you distill it for them. You know, again, it's a time saver, or they haven't been exposed to that book or subject. And so how can I do that better has been really helpful with me. So I've definitely taken nuggets from everyone I've interviewed. My first interview ever was with a really good friend of mine who was a 20 something year police captain. And we actually talked about how police weren't using this incident command system process that all the other public safety folks were. And now it's much better. But his insight into that directly helped me, so that if I was going to, you know, help plan an event, or, you know, whether it was police or not, help someone that was kind of stuck in their ways, not be stuck in their ways by seeing the benefit of, you know, in that instance, it was, you know, do you understand that we can get all your people water if we plan together, or, you know, just simple things like, you know, incremental things. So everyone I've talked to, I've certainly, in fact, that's probably a good idea for like a recap summary show, is what are the nuggets have I taken from each of the folks I've interviewed? I mean, that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. And I think the one thing you just said, you distilled it down, you got right down into the guts. And I think that's what a lot of podcasters, at least I hope they strive to do when they're trying to share information with their audiences. And if you can distill it or take that from someone's commentary and apply it to your own process, I think that's awesome. So you've been at this now, you know, if I look at my notes here, when do you hit 2 years? It's because you started in 2018 with Between the Slides, and now you've been doing the People Process Progress Show since 2019. When do you actually hit your 2 year mark?
September.
So you're fast approaching that then. Mm-hmm. So are you feeling then, with you're on 27 episodes with the People Process Progress Show? Mm-hmm. Are you doing one a week, every couple of weeks? How are you doing how are you planning out your stack and how your shows are put out?
I'm doing typically weekly. I've done some where I've done a couple in a week, whether it was kind of a short blurb, again, my two cents, and then a guest, or a longer kind of review or distilled version. And that's what they, you know, because some subjects are hard to distill way down into, you know, 15, 30 minute bites.
Yeah.
And so weekly is kind of the standard, but that's one thing I'm looking at too, again, to continue to provide value, is look at, you know, of the two big hats I've worn, you know, I'm not going to get away from that because it's, you know, it's definitely a smoother delivery and more relevant if I'm talking about things I'm familiar with, other than or in addition to, because even when I interview folks, you know, when they come on, I still can relate it to different things. But to also maybe do a kind of a planning thing, an incident management or public safety thing, and then a project management thing, short things each week, plus an interview every couple of weeks. So still kind of streamlining the format, again, based on feedback that I get, but weekly is the standard that I've used for sure.
Right. Well, awesome. Where can people find your show? Is there a website for it?
There is, yes. So peopleprocessprogress.com is there. So I've got actually all the episodes archived there. I put the new ones up, and then you can see all the links to subscribe and all the platforms really. And I actually just added it, and I'm still learning this because I think it's new to IMDb. They just started listing podcasts.
Yeah. That's brand new. Yep.
Yeah, which was interesting. But all the regular platforms, Facebook, we have People Process Progress, peopleprocessprogress@gmail.com. And then any of those, you can reach me, happy to answer any questions about the show or anything else that I mentioned. And again, appreciate, you know, being able to share that and kind of my two cents and the story about getting started in podcasting.
Yeah, absolutely. So everyone go over and check out Kevin's show again at peopleprocessprogress.com. So again, say that three times real fast and you guarantee can't get it right, but it's very catchy. It's awesome. But yeah, thanks for being on the Podcast Insider here and continued luck with your show and thanks for being on.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
I want to thank Kevin again for being on the show. And of course, again, if you want to be on the Podcast Insider, all you got to do is send an email to Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. So Mike, what's going on in support?
We've had a rash lately of people replying to old tickets or old emails. I had one all the way back from 2015 the other day, you know, and it was, you know, when they first got started, and then they just want to ask me a quick one-off question that has nothing to do with the whole email chain that we had going. And a lot of times those get missed or delayed, you know, in response, because I got to dig through this whole chain to find out it's nothing to do with what the subject was.
Right.
So, you know, if you've got a new issue, try not to reply to an old ticket. I know that's handy, but oh man, we could get it so much faster if you just ask a new question in a new ticket or a new email.
So simple. So submit a new ticket, don't reply to an old one. It'll get responded to faster.
Yeah.
So also you got something here that says after hitting publish, hit play. What's the skinny on that?
Well, a lot of people here, and it's been a rash of this lately, so that's why I brought it up. A lot of people say, hey, my podcast isn't on X directory or any directories. I don't know where it went, and you know, I can't find it, and I'm subscribed, and I didn't get it. And then the first thing I asked was, did you hit play on your website when you published it? Did you hit the play button? No. And then you look at it, and you know, there was something wrong with the URL that they put in there. And, you know, 10 seconds later, they're fixed and it's going out in the feed. But you really, you know, we went over last week, you know, how to check your show after you publish and all that more in depth. But basically, hit play. You know, if it doesn't play on your site, it's not going anywhere.
And if you're hosting with Blueberry, here's the beauty. We pre-populate that for you. You can't make a mistake. You upload, it's in there. You verify. When you hit verify, you're verifying that that media is up there, and you can actually see the length of the episode and the time in the additional info. So you can actually click that and look at that info real quick to make sure. So, you know, just hit that verify after you've uploaded and look at that time hack and everything. That'll help also re-verify that you're actually publishing your episode with your full length. So what's going on also with linking your account in Blueberry?
Yeah, just a, you know, quick refresher. When you're logging into Blueberry from PowerPress, and you only need to do this, by the way, if you have any services at Blueberry. So if you have free stats, paid stats, or hosting at Blueberry, you need to log in. But otherwise, you don't need to log in. But a lot of these password managers that, you know, I also talked about last week have a password manager. It doesn't work in this one spot because most of those password managers think you're trying to log into your website
Oh, so you're talking about in
the linking to Blueberry from PowerPress.
Okay, so when you're linking to Blueberry from PowerPress, you're going to need to look up your Blueberry email and login password instead of letting it autofill, or it'll try to fill the autofill with your actual WordPress login.
Yeah, and that, you know, that confuses a lot of people. I bet you between Dave and I, we take 6 or 7 calls a week on that at least, plus tickets.
I gotcha. So that's just a quick reminder for those of you using PowerPress. If you become unsynced, and for some reason, every once in a while, something will unsync, and I don't know what causes account to be unsynced, but...
A lot of times, you know, somebody will try to log in at Blueberry to look at their stats or something, and they can't remember their password, so they reset their password.
Oh, and then it resets their sync on PowerPress.
Right. So if you do change your password at Blueberry or ask us to change your email login, you need to use those same credentials at PowerPress to keep everything going.
Yeah. So you got something on here on Spotify. What's going on with Spotify?
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, Spotify is different than any other app out there, as we keep talking about. But Spotify requires you to be a hosting customer at Blueberry to submit via Blueberry's dashboard. And it's not just paying for a hosting account. I've had that happen before, too. Somebody pays for a hosting account. They don't use it. They're hosting somewhere else. And then they can't, you know, can't get on Spotify, or, you know, they publish a show that's not hosted on the Blueberry.com servers and it doesn't go to Spotify. So Spotify has, you know, got some extra requirements for those of, you know, those companies that help you submit to it. And, you know, so, and they also should be an MP3 format. It, you know, it will take M4As through Blueberry, but we have to transcode those. So that causes a double listing in your stats. So you'll see an M4A for everybody else, and you'll see an MP3 for Spotify in the stats, and that gets a little confusing. We're on pass-through now, so that there's no special Spotify section that's going to be collecting any stats anymore. They're going to be mixed right in with your Blueberry stats. So if you want to see what's going on Spotify, you just hit the clients section there in the stats, and that'll show you what's going on there. And one thing I get, you know, is when I'm moving people in, is they're on Spotify through their former host. Well, Spotify requires, and this is, you know, it's a lot harder than it should be, I think, but Spotify requires that your old host remove your listing on Spotify. And then once it's fully removed, we can submit it from Blueberry.
That's just insane.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's what they do. So, you know, unfortunately, it's their rule, not ours.
Is the link the same, or is there actually an actual link to Spotify? Or does the link to the listing change?
I think the link to this listing even changes. And that's, you know, you can log in over at Spotify and look at what your stats are within that platform. And you can, if you want, go over there and change the feed and all that stuff. But it won't work.
Wow.
You know, so you just have to have your old host remove it. You're only going to be out for a day or two, and then we get you right back in.
So, you know, show titles, I see you got something on here. Just, and I think the thing here is remember, the key component is here. You're writing for Google. You record for your audience. So you have to be careful, though, on show titles. You got people that are doing keyword stuffing right now.
Yeah, what it is, and I'm talking about the overall show title, not episode titles.
A show title.
Yeah, so, you know, like, for instance, you know, the best business show in the world, by so-and-so. Well, the by so-and-so is not going to fly with Apple long-term. You know, they'll let it go for a little bit, but if you get it all popular or they notice, they'll take you out of the Apple directory.
Yeah, you have to put your author in the author tag. Yeah. And the title is a title with no keyword stuffing.
Right. You know, and if you know, think of TV shows, you know, you look at the old TV show MASH. It was just called MASH. It wasn't called MASH, a story about Korea, blah, 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 blah. You know, it was just MASH.
Right.
And that's what you have to do with a podcast. You just have to have a title.
So this is part of the reason why it goes right back to Blueberry Way. If you have a website that is mash.com, and I'm not to probably we probably shouldn't say that because I don't know where that don't go to that website. I don't know where it goes now. But you know, MASH TV show or whatever it may be. And then you have, you know, you have that .com associated with your show name. It just completely allows you to completely explode your podcast listing and discoverability and all that stuff. And you don't want it to be too, you don't want that title to be too complicated. Google takes that all into account as well as Apple. So simpler is better. All right. That's going to bring us to the end of the Podcast Insider. We'll be back with you again here next Thursday. We're still doing the live thing on Facebook if you want to join us. We've had a number of people on today. Not too many people comment. If you've been watching on Facebook, make sure you just say hello. We want to know that you are here. We appreciate it when you do that. But again, if you have comments on today's show, you can send them to Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. Want to hear your comments? You have a topic you want us to cover? Send those to Mike. He'll get them in the agenda, and we'll cover them in the show. Any parting thoughts, Mike?
No, just everybody keep on keeping on. And if you need any help with podcasting stuff, don't hesitate to contact us.
So, Sarah Brent, our pleasure bringing you the show. Thanks for being here. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.